This is a HeadGum Original.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Nicole Byer.
I'm Lauren Lapkus.
And guess what? We are experiencing Lord of the Rings for the first time. And this is the 14th episode of this season. We have 6 more to go. And then I never have to think about Lord of the Rings ever again in my life. And I cannot wait for the day. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. Unfortunately, you know, I think what this is making us realize is that we really like Star Wars, which is maybe
the most surprising things
to come out of all of this.
Love Star Wars. What a treat Star Wars was. I gotta say, I think I said in another episode, Star Wars was goofy at times, and I appreciated that. Lord of the Rings is just so serious and, for me, not, there's no tee-hee-heeing besides those little trolls in the river in the barrels. That made me tee-hee. There's very few and far in between tee-hee-hees.
Well, I'm excited for today because we are taking a break from the films for a moment to return to a highly requested topic, which is fan fiction. Now, if you're out there and you've never heard of fan fiction, it's stories written by fans featuring characters from a particular series. So we learned about it and read some crazy Star Wars fan fiction on a couple episodes last season. And we read our first Lord of the Rings fan fiction a few weeks ago. So you can listen to those episodes first for context if you want it. But this will be pretty self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. And we're going to dive into more Lord of the Rings fan fiction right now and read some more original writings. And I must warn you, this episode will be very explicit and there will be explicit language, although mine's not as explicit as it was last time. So I think
mine also isn't because I had a really like lofty goal with this and like a big premise that like, I don't know if it pays off and I don't know if I did it good.
See, last time I feel like I really learned that it doesn't have to be gross. Like I feel like every time we've done this, our guests will be like, no, fan fiction can be like really sweet. And I'm like, I still feel like there has to be dicks and stuff. And like, this time I tried to change it a little bit, but it is still sexual, but it's hard for me to stay away. Whatever. We'll get into that in a little bit. Let's introduce our guest. Now, our guest today is Molly Ostertag. Molly is an award-winning graphic novelist and writer known for her webcomic Strong Female Protagonist and her graphic novel series The Witch Boy, The Hidden Witch, and The Midwinter Witch, and for her work on the horror comic book series Tales of the Night Watchmen. Welcome, Molly!
Hi, Molly!
Hello! Thank you for having me.
We're very excited you're here because you also said before we started that you have an earnest, you know, energy regarding the Lord of the Rings stuff. And we really need that.
Yes.
Yeah. I've gone on a like real deep dive this year of like letting myself become like a truly embarrassing Lord of the Rings fan. And so I'm here. It like occupies about like 50% of my waking thoughts. Like I'm
50?
Here to just, I know it's really inconvenient. I have not gotten work done for so long.
Wait, how did you get into Lord of the Rings? Was it only this year, or had you been a fan for years and it just came to a head, if you will say, this year?
I grew up watching the movies. They came out when I was like 9 or 10, which was a good age to like really fixate on them. And I also had no friends, so I was like, this will be my personality, fixating on Lord of the Rings. And then I like got a little older and I was like, okay, maybe this is embarrassing. I have to step back from it. And then I just feel like this year I like left the concept of embarrassment behind in 2020. I'm not seeing people. I don't have coworkers right now. I'm just like, I'm going to go fully into like how much I love these hobbits and like their beautiful romance and like them saving the world. So
that's great.
Okay, you said romance.
Yeah.
What romance do you know about that I don't know about?
The romance that I think is truly in the story is between Sam and Frodo. And I know I listened to like your first episodes with the movies. So like, I know that you picked up on it too, because you're a person of taste.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we definitely saw it a bit, but wanted more to happen.
Yeah.
And wanted something to confirm it. And then at the end, when Sam like marries that
like,
woman,
taller
randomly,
woman.
And we're like,
I know. What? She's a lot taller than him.
It was disappointing.
Yeah,
very disappointing.
I feel like I mostly was a fan of the movies, and I always like I shipped them a little bit when I was younger, but I was like, oh, it's like gay, and I'm like self-conscious about that. And now I am like, as an older gay adult, I'm like, I see myself in these characters and in their relationship very much. But this was the first year that I sat down and like really read the book, and I wasn't expecting the book to be so much more romantic. Like the movies are like low key about it, and the book is like very, very tender. So it brought me a lot of joy to kind of like read it and be like, holy shit, this is happening. We are doing this. We are having a beautiful romance.
Well, is there a payoff in the books? Like, do they fuck?
Unfortunately, no, I don't think anyone fucks in Middle Earth at all. Like, I don't think that's a thing that people do, unfortunately, except in fan fiction. But they move after the quest, after they like save the world. Sam still marries Rosie, the taller woman, but they move in with Frodo. Frodo's like, would you like to come live with me, Sam? And Sam is like, well, I technically said I would marry Rosie. And then Frodo's like, you can all come in. I have a big house. And so they live together for years. Eventually, Frodo goes to Elf Heaven. And then Sam follows him eventually, and they like live together in Elf Heaven. It's really sweet.
Wait, and then does Rosie follow her husband to Elf Heaven, or she's like, I'll stick down here?
No, she stays. It's like he has a life with Rosie. They have like 15 children or something. Ooh. And then I know it's like, oh, hobbits. I don't know what their anatomy is like.
Do you think that they like pop out like little gremlins when they get wet?
I kind of think so. It's possibly a litter situation. Like it might be like
kittens.
I don't know.
15 at once. Yeah.
But yeah. So he has like a full life with her. She like dies of old age, and then he gets on a boat and is like, time to go see my boyfriend after 60 years. It's really
after
sweet.
60 years?
Yeah.
That is very
romantic.
Well,
thank God they didn't do that in real time in the movie.
They pretty much did.
I would have been so mad.
I was so listening to you guys talk about the movies. I had this like secondhand embarrassment where I was just like, I'm so sorry. Like, they're so long and so hard to understand.
They are very long. And I mean, we've said that maybe 1,000 times. So I'm sorry to everyone that I just said it again. But there were things that we've definitely found things to enjoy and like things that we found like funny or cool or whatever. I think it is just like the length really makes it hard for us to get totally invested, because we get lost and then we're just like, okay, I can't figure out what's going on. Even though we've now heard these stories in like 10 different forms and we're still like, oh, that's what happens.
Did you guys watch the animated films?
Yeah.
Oh boy. Yes.
Those are really wild. Those ones are so strange.
They really are. Yeah. And I'm thankful that's in the past.
Me too. Speaking of the past, Molly, this past September, you guested on another podcast called Lord of the Rings Minute, where the host dedicated an entire 20-minute episode to discussing Lord of the Rings films 1 minute at a time. You were on episodes 206 to 210, meaning you spent an hour and a half talking about 5 minutes of screen time. How difficult was it to stretch 1 minute of film time into a 20-minute analysis?
You know, I feel like we did it pretty well. I took it as an excuse to just like spiral off and talk about the things that I like, but we could kind of get into it. I mean, I feel like when you get really into the movies, when you like the actors and everything, we can be like, oh, is that Ian McKellen like running across the field? Or is that like a stunt double? Like, you just get really into like these little nitpicky things that are not fun for anyone except for someone who's like slowly going insane in quarantine.
So wait, but how many episodes did they do of that? Because must have been 1 minute at a time.
Yeah, I was on, and it was like the ring destruction scene. So they had, I guess, done the rest of the movies. I don't know how. They must have started 10 years ago. I really don't know.
That's fascinating.
But it was kind of delightful to just like go through it really minutely. And I don't know.
Are there any other like movies you could do that with, or TV shows that you love enough?
No, like this is really the one thing. And I've always, cause like I make comics and I work in animation. So I try to like, like stay a little bit outside of fandom culture. And this is the one thing that I'm just like absolutely feral for. Like going for it. Yeah.
Why do you feel like you stay away from it? Like what are the reasons when you're in that world?
I think there's just like a weird intersection sometimes. Like I think if I was in a fandom for like a cartoon that was like adjacent to a cartoon that I'd written on, there would be like weird crossover between like fans and creators. But Lord of the Rings, I'm just like, Tolkien is dead. He's not going to see me tweeting like horny tweets about hobbits. Like, that, yeah, it's like a big relief. So I can kind of just have fun without worrying too much about like running that makes into sense. Anybody. Although Ian McKellen followed my Twitter and like, was like asking me about like hot Legolas art. So that was exciting.
That's exciting.
That's nice. Yeah, that's very exciting. I love Ian. I think he's amazing. I'm a Gandhi gal. I think Gandhi's so hot.
Gandhi's really hot. You're right about that.
I think so.
I feel like watching these movies as a child, and then like, it's just like the people that I have crushes on in the movie, like has changed over the course of my life. But I feel like recently I'm like, yeah, Gandalf has a way about him.
He does. He's very tall. He has like very much like BDE. He's like strong, powerful, knows what he wants, you know.
He's
wise.
A little bit vulnerable. He's a little bit grumpy.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I think
he's
my
three dimensional.
Yeah. Yeah. Good communicator. Usually. I think my headcanon for him is that he has fucked like most of the like ancient creatures in Middle Earth. Like I think he and the Balrog, that's like the fire demon.
Oh my
demon,
God.
Absolutely exes.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love to picture it. Nicole, is there any like sort of movie or show that you feel like you could talk about for a minute at a time and be deeply invested?
Yeah. 90 Day Fiance. one of the spinoffs, The Family Chantel. There is a scene where Chantel's mother brings a crock pot to Bangkok, or I think it's Bangkok. No, where are they? Oh, a Thrilla in Manila. They're in Manila. So she brings a crock pot and says she's going to bring it to restaurants and ask them to hook it up if they don't have anything for her to eat. I could talk about that for hours.
Oh my God.
That is so funny. It's so funny.
There's a lot to get into there.
I don't watch Family Chantel because they make me so mad.
Oh, you'll get livid watching this. It is so funny. Lauren, what about you?
I don't know. Maybe Real Housewives. I just started watching Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and it's
beautiful.
Fucking amazing. It's perfect.
Incredible.
Like, they're incredible. Every single person is insane in some way. One woman is married to her step-grandpa.
I lost my shit. That was so okay, Molly.
I'm trying to. I know Molly's doing the math on that.
I'm like drawing family trees in my head.
Her grandmother was married to a man that was not her grandpa, so that's her step grandpa. Okay. And in her will, she said that she wanted one of her girls to take care of him. She steps up and says, "I'll do it." She's also a minister. Also, she has the most expensive clothes, but doesn't know how to accessorize them or wear them. And then she gets mad at Jen, or no, she says Jen smells like a hospital, even though Jen had just come from the hospital where her aunt had her legs amputated. And she's like, "I mean, the legs aren't there. These women are nuts. I love
them."
She's
like, "I have an aversion to the smell of rotting human flesh," or whatever. It's like, yeah.
Most people
like
do.
Everyone does.
Wait, this is Real Housewives.
Yeah, so this is like a brand new, this is a
brand new
spinoff.
You can get in at the ground floor.
Oh my God.
It's funny.
Bachelorette has been, I've been losing my shit.
Oh my God.
I'm not only Lord of the Rings, like I also like
I respect that. Bachelorette's insane this season. We just got Tayshia. I'm very happy about it. I feel like Tayshia might be the best Bachelorette ever. She's very real and like knows what she wants and is coming into it as like the second fiddle. So I think it's kind of good. Like she's very direct. And
I hope I haven't watched like the last two episodes. I hope everyone's nice to her. I can tell that these boys are all kind of traumatized. Mm-hmm. I'm worried for them.
Yeah. It's very pathetic how ruined they were by
Clearly. I've just never seen, it's like she like had 20 men like whipped in a week.
I don't understand.
She had entered into a like toxic relationship with 20 men so quickly.
It's true.
Broke all of their hearts. It was crazy. The scene where she came out and she was like, I've just broken up with all the guys.
It's so stupid. Very I love good. It so much. And apparently she's still with Dale. I follow a gossip site that says that people have seen him on dates with other women. But then Dale and Claire both are using their Instagrams very effectively to make it seem like they are together.
Okay.
And it's real. Now, I sort of think it's a contractual obligation and that by the end of the season, it'll fall apart.
I have a theory that she is like a criminal. And Dale is an FBI agent who has like studied her precisely and maybe has like a pheromone spray or something that like he just is cheating in some way. He is like a grown in the lab.
Yes. Man. Something. Like, does seem, something's off. Something's off. I love this idea. That would be an amazing movie where this guy's like come in to like figure it out and take advantage of her and like get her.
Like,
and then
got to get close to her to find out the state secrets. Yeah.
Back to Lord of the Rings, even though I really loved that tangent. But you co-create your webcomic Strong Female Protagonist with Brennan Lee Mulligan, who we plan to have on with us in a few weeks. And
as
Middle Earth enthusiasts, has the common love of Lord of the Rings that you and Brennan share played any role in creating your series together? Or is that just like a side interest?
That's a good question, and it's sort of a project that's on hold. We haven't updated it for a couple of years, but we've made two books together. I think what Lord of the Rings does in nerd spaces is that it's this very like common world that we can all come into together. So Brennan and I, we actually met, this is embarrassing, we met because we went to live action role playing summer camp. Mm, so we were like fully like in the fantasy world, like LARPing and wearing
was this
costumes.
As adults?
Yeah. No, it was as teenagers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I was open for either option. But.
Me too. I was like, as an adult, maybe I'll do it. That might be fun.
It seems kind of fun. I think it would be fun to go back to.
About LARPing. So like it's live action role play. So mm-hmm. like, do you arrive at LARP camp as your character and then you are your character until your parents pick you up?
That's not how we did it. I feel like there's different camps, different vibes. We would like show up and like you like bond with everyone as your real selves. And then you have like a night where everyone gets into character and you like put on your costume, you tape on your little elf ears and you just like go for it.
Oh, that's cute.
You were an elf?
Sometimes it was different.
Oh, you could be different people.
Yeah. It like every week it was like a different story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I know. I was always angling to wear the elf ears though.
Was there like sort of underlying drama within the LARPing about like real stuff that was going on between you and the people at camp?
God. Yeah. Absolutely. Definitely. Like I definitely had at least one experience of like my high school ex and I are both like, we like just broke up and now we're playing like warriors who are fighting each other, and I'm just really getting into how angry I am.
Wow.
It was good therapy.
I was just about to say, this is like therapeutic and I like it.
Yeah, it was a good thing for a bunch of dramatic teens to do.
Yeah.
Molly, as an author, what are your thoughts on the world of fan fiction? Like, what's your favorite subgenre?
So I've never read a ton of fan fiction before this year. When I just started getting really into it, I love it. I mean, I love it as an author. I think it's so fun that people like go into these stories and make their own worlds. And I also, with stuff like Lord of the Rings, there's like this element of like telling these like queer and gay stories that like we never get those stories. Like we do not have an epic fantasy movie trilogy that actually has a gay romance at the heart of it that's explicit. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, the fan fiction allows us to kind of write ourselves into the world in a way that I think is really cool. So I find it definitely the ones that I read are very like narrative focused and very much just about like they feel like they're in the genre of the movie or the book. And they really just like are telling the story of these characters, except they're also queer in some way. So that's cool. Yeah, I think it's cool. I think it's kind of transformative and fun.
Yeah, I feel like we came into this not knowing at all what fan fiction was. Yeah. And we both thought it was just erotica.
Yeah. And then there is a lot of erotica. Okay. There is a lot of it.
And then our friend Madeline Walter wrote like a devastating piece about this like woman in Tatooine, like who's in the first 2 seconds of Star Wars. And I was like, this is the most beautiful take. And I cannot bring myself to do it. I truly like will sit down. I'm like, I only can write goofy, dumb shit. I can't.
I don't know how to be vulnerable and write fan fiction.
That's fair. Mine is very vulnerable. It's like definitely like as someone who's written a lot of work that's published, this is possibly like my most personal piece. And I'm like, it's about fucking Frodo and Sam.
Oh my God. I'm so excited. Oh my God.
I truly can't wait to hear it.
Oh, it's really, I mean, okay. I'll maybe read you a section. It's very long. It's the length of a book. This is what I did this summer. I like wrote a book that was Lord of the Rings, but okay, that's
very impressive.
Wild. I love that.
I don't know. It's 2020. It's just a weird year.
There are no rules.
Yeah, exactly. But when I was a kid and I was really into Lord of the Rings, I read all of the Tolkien and everything. And then I was like, I'm 12. I'm going to go online and just search like Lord of the Rings stories to find more stuff to read. And I found a website that was like a treasure trove of stories. And I was so excited. And I didn't know about fan fiction. So I assumed that they all were written by Tolkien. Oh. And the first one I clicked on was this like extremely X-rated, like dwarf elf orgy. Like,
oh no!
Like just things that I did not know about as a 12-year-old. There was like dwarf beards being used in a way that I don't think is sanitary. Like it was a lot. And so I sort of like didn't read fan fiction for a long time after that. So I was like, this is a bit much for me.
It's so crazy how like as a kid, if you see or read something like that, you never forget. Like I feel like I just have these things burned into my brain that I wasn't supposed to see. And now I'm like, I'll just never be able to erase that.
I know. I remember like specific lines from this fan fiction of like Gimli and Legolas going at it and just slowly reading it and being like, I don't think the J.R.R. Tolkien wrote this.
That's very cute.
I think this is someone else.
Truly so funny to think about a kid being like, I don't know. I don't think he
wrote this.
He wrote it.
It's like the word choice is just weird. Yeah.
Okay, well, shall we jump into our Shire Wire?
Hell yeah,
dude. This is our news segment. Now, next U.S. military spy satellite launch has inexplicable Lord of the Rings theme. Okay, so a United Launch Alliance Atlas V or 5 rocket, I don't know if it's V, is set to send a National Reconnaissance Office spy satellite into orbit from Florida's Cape Canaveral Air Force Station. Though information about NRO launches is always a little scarce for obvious reasons, this one looks to be relatively routine, except for the baffling mission artwork that includes a phrase in Elvish.
You just said a bunch of words together.
To sum it up, I think a rocket's going into space and they put a picture of it and then behind it is Elvish. And it says, goodness persists, but then it's also written in Elvish. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why.
And a United Launch Alliance spokesperson said the artwork and theme came from NRO, which declined to explain the reference to Middle Earth. Maybe this the spy satellite's going to Middle Earth.
That would be interesting if it was in space this whole time.
So exciting. That would be a big twist.
So it's not unusual for NRO to pick a quotable phrase and theme for its mission posters. Usually they involve some phrase in Latin and some sort of mythic character like a Pegasus or Thor, but we'll likely never know the details about this bewildering theme, just as we'll probably never know the specs of the satellite being launched. Well, I find that very interesting and weird. I had no idea that they would use themes like that on a rocket. Like, why? It's just for fun?
It's a spy satellite?
A spy satellite.
I hate that. That's so weird.
I kind of hate that too. I think it's creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, why does the government want to know, like, what I'm doing? I lead a rather normal, boring life. Why are we being spied upon?
I don't know. It's like, I don't trust anything to not be spying on me, but I've kind of just accepted that.
Like our computers, our phones. It's truly insane that we're like, okay.
Yeah. If you post everything on Twitter or Instagram, you are doing the work for them. So it's like, fine. I'm like, you can't spy on me. I'm already sharing. You already know everything there is to know.
Oh, that's a go. Okay, I thought I was taking it the opposite way. Like, I'm making it so easy for them that I'm the problem. But no, I like it how you said it.
Yeah, I like it. I'm making it easy. So, like, leave me the fuck alone.
And I'm showing you everything that's going on. I do a podcast about Lord of the Rings. You don't have to spy on me.
You know this. There's no surprises here.
Should we take a quick little break?
Let's do it.
If you're wondering what a NordVPN is, I'll tell you. VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, a service that protects your internet connection and online privacy. A VPN creates an encrypted tunnel for your data. Protect your online identity by hiding your IP address and allow you to use public Wi-Fi hotspots safely. I'm using a NordVPN myself. And honestly, it's very easy to use. You connect with one click to enable auto connect for zero click protection. It has amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there, and it supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, Linux, even Android TV. You can switch your virtual location to access apps and websites in other countries. Get an exclusive NordVPN deal here at nordvpn.com/newcomers. NordVPN.com/newcomers. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Link is in the episode description.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
So let's get into this fan fiction.
Okay, so we have some stories from the internet, that, and they will all be linked in the episode description if you want to read along, if you're a visual listener, learner, whatever. And we also wrote our own, as we've said. So we'll take turns reading a little bit of this fan fiction. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do it. So this first one is The Very Secret Diary of Gandalf the Grey by Cassandra Clare.
This The Very Secret Diary is really cute.
He like writes in it and he's like, nobody can see it. But this fic is taken from a series by Cassandra Clare known as The Very Secret Diaries, which chronicles the diary entries of various Lord of the Rings characters. This one's Gandhi's diary. So here it is. Day one in Shire. Stunning vista of innocent and pastoral beauty. Is it me or was Frodo just hanging around in that field masturbating before I came along?
Oh my God. I did not think that was going to happen. I truly was like, this one's cute. It's like diary entries and masturbating happened.
We got
just
so
instantly.
Quickly. Second sentence.
And I love how short these diary entries are. Okay, so day two, it's Bilbo's birthday party. Improved by substantial amounts of hobbit weed. Everyone, show nice.
What?
Bilbo, nice too. Lights, show pretty.
What is this?
Frodo, not bad either. Hobbits, show cuddly. Fell over. I don't know what that
whoops,
means.
Whoops, fell over?
Oh, whoops. Or yeah, whoops, fell over. Day three, massive fucking hangover. Off to Minas Thrife for some aspirin. Day 12. Went to Sauron for advice about Ring, but he had become evil. Nobody tells me anything. Apparently there was a memo. Radagast, Rastafarian the Brown, probably stealing paper out of my inbox again. Day 13. Stuck on top of tower. Great view, but constantly pelting sleet. Not good for pointy hat. Am amused self by spitting gum down on orcs. Day 14. Visit again by Sauron, who tried to grab a feel. As if.
Oh my God.
Day 16. Am lonely. Saruman maybe not so unattractive after all. If only were not for giantly flaring nostrils and huge claw-like fingernails. Okay, you'd think I might have figured out he was evil before. Day 19. Escaped. I'm in Riverdale. Sam slightly out of control. Keeps giving Frodo baths. Elves all out of strawberry scented soap now. L. Ron Hubbard's getting annoyed. L. Ron Hubbard has decided to send Frodo away as is tired of never being able to get into the first floor bathroom. Big Fuldero about Ring have agreed to go with Fellowship in case Sam might decide to give me a bath. Could use one. This is long. Day 20. L. Ron Hubbard has decided to send Frodo away. Oh, wait, no, I said that. Day 21. Aragorn is obviously into Frodo. Sam will kill him if he tries anything. Ask Sam to give me a bath. He said, ha ha, Mr. Gandalf, you're not serious. Useless git. Day 23. V cold on top of Cutteratas. Aragorn won fight about who got to carry Frodo up the mountain. Bromir sulking if Legolas keeps nancing about on top of the snow, I might have to hit him with my staff. Day 25. I don't want to go through the mines of Moria as suspect Balrog is still angry about the bad date he went on back in the Second Age. Day 26. In mines of Mora. Yep, Balrog's still angry. Day 27. Fell into shadow. Balrog's such a prat. Had to do some quite unspeakable things before he would let me leave the caverns. He decided to not to tell the rest of the Fellowship. We'll make up story about having engaged in huge battle instead. Off to see Elrond to get quite unpleasant third-degree burns in embarrassing places treated. Hope Elrond does not laugh at me. If he does, we'll tell everyone about his dirty weekend with Sauron. Ha!
Wow. Yeah. It took us through a full month.
Truly. And it was written in like a weird shorthand.
I feel like I've seen inside Gandalf's mind.
This really gave me a lot of insight into what he's thinking.
It's like a beautiful character study. I told you, they're exes. He definitely fucked the Balrog.
Yeah. You're right.
And did again.
Lauren, do you want to read yours?
Okay. Yes. Okay. This is called The Mysterious Doors by Lauren Lapkus. Snow falls around a beautiful, frosty, frozen, cold ice castle in Middle Earth. It looks like it's made of glass or ice. It looks cold. One of the eagles flies past it and tosses something into one of the highest windows. Ah! It's Pee-Pee, a small, stupid hobbit. Not quite the soft landing I was hoping for, he complains as he rubs his head. Little birds fly around his head as a lump rises out of it. He shoos the birds away with way more energy and force than is required and falls over again from his own dramatic movements. He looks around and sees he is in the tower at the top of the castle. There are two closed doors behind him. Wonder what's behind these doors, he says aloud to nobody. He walks up to the first door and knocks three times. The door creaks open slowly to reveal a glittery purple room with a velvety king-sized bed off to one side. A stripper pole divides the space.
Oh.
What's going on in here? He manages to choke out into the jasmine-scented air. Suddenly, music comes blaring from some hidden speakers. It's a remix of Leonard Nimoy's song about Bilbo Baggins entitled Wet Ass Baggins. A disco ball comes down from the ceiling and throws shimmering light onto every surface. Just then, a stunning elf that looks just like Nicole Byer, but with pointy ears, slides down the pole. Pee-Pee gasps, Niccolo Bye-Bye, is that you? The music gets louder and Niccolo Bye-Bye does a few very impressive moves on the pole. Then she stands right next to the pole and leans against it. Pee-Pee thinks the show is over, and he's about to clap when Nicola Bye-Bye puts her arm out to the side and snaps her fingers. A stringy-haired nude golem slides down the pole onto her arm. They kiss long and hard. It's part of the performance, and Nicola Bye-Bye is relieved when the song and kiss both end. She flings him from her arm onto her luxurious bed. "Get in your crate," she commands. He crawls off the bed and into a small box in the corner. Nicola Bye-Bye finally acknowledges Pee-Pee. "What?" she asks him point blank. "Oh, nothing. I just got dropped off here and got curious about what was behind this door." "Like what you see?" Nicola Bye-Bye asks. "Yes, yes, I do. Very much," Pee-Pee stammers. "Well, then you'll like what's behind door number two as well. Now get the fuck out of here." She pushes Pee-Pee out of her chambers and closes the door. Back in the harsh light of day, Pee-Pee struggles to open his eyes. He is exhausted from that exciting encounter, but decides he must know what is behind door number two. He knocks 3 times. This is where it gets weird, if you can believe it. Okay.
This is where.
Okay. The door creaks open. The room has a magical light to it, beckoning Pee-Pee to come in. He looks around and sees that one wall has 100 small doors built into it. Pee-Pee tentatively walks up to the wall of doors and opens one of them. He puts his eye up to the door hole and sees fellow hobbits Nikki Waigigi and Michi Mooch kissing playfully.
Nikki Waigigi and Michi Mooch.
And throwing leaves at each other. He quickly slams the door shut and opens another. In it is one scene from the biopic Tolkien. Pee-Pee watches for 1 minute, then becomes suicidal, so he slams the door shut. He opens the next door and watches the entire animated Hobbit film. "Wow, I've heard a lot of good things about this, but it's actually really boring," he says when it's over. He's about to open the next door, but thinks better of it and rushes back to the first door. He whips it open and sees Nikki Waigigi and Michi Mooch reading love letters to each other on a picnic blanket in an area that looks like the Teletubbies' grassy knoll. Pee-Pee stares longingly at them, and so does the baby in the sun. Nikki Waigigi and Michi Mooch feel someone staring at them, and they turn to look at Pee-Pee. "Sup, you want in?" Pee-Pee looks from left to right behind him to see if anyone is looking. "Yeah," he says as he starts to climb in. He's halfway through the door before Nicola Bye-Bye walks in. "Has anyone seen my Gandy peen? Hey, you better not go in there. That will change the balance of everything." But it's too late. The room starts to shake as Pee-Pee falls into the other Middle Earth dimension. Nicola Bye-Bye struggles to catch her balance as the earth shifts beneath her. The ice tower falls to the ground and the earth cracks open. The castle breaks into a million pieces as Nicola Bye-Bye falls into the hole. "Ah!" she screams as she flails her arms and legs all around. Just when it starts to seem like all hope is lost, Nicola Bye-Bye falls into the warm, loving embrace of Gandhi's giant arms. He cradles her like a baby. "Let's get you into something more comfortable," he whispers into her ear. They kiss and turn out to the camera, and a cartoon heart forms around their heads. The end.
Wow. I love it. Also, I love that Weiger and Mitch were in it, and I'm wearing a Doughboys fucking t-shirt right now.
Oh, amazing. Molly, it's just a reference to one of our friends. I don't know if you know about the Doughboys, but I had to throw them in there because,
I love it. Were they the hobbits making out?
Yeah, I wanted something horny to happen.
Nicole, how do you feel about being written about in such a way?
I really loved it. It touched my heart. I love that in Middle Earth, I'm like confident and can slide down a pole and have a whole thing with the Gollum, and then I suffer through. And then I'm in a cage. It was so funny.
You didn't have to write that, but you did.
I love it. It's funny because I wrote something a little bit for you.
Oh my God, that's great. See, well, last time we were talking about fan fiction, someone mentioned that that people put themselves in it. And we hadn't, I think you had a little bit with your previous one.
Yes.
But we hadn't really thought about that before that. And then this time I was like, oh, that's fun. That makes it more exciting in my mind.
Well, I like that you guys did each other. That's very cute.
That's very fun.
Instead of doing a self-insert, you're like, here's a little present. Mm-hmm. You get to be held by Gandalf.
Yeah, I wanted you to have what you wanted.
I love Gandhi. It's funny that, like, when I was writing the fan fiction, it never occurred to me to write about Gandalf. Maybe it's because I hold him so high in my brain. Yeah. I really love Gandhi.
It would be too vulnerable.
Yes.
You can't show that side of your heart.
It's deep.
Should we read Tears Like Rain from the Melon Chronicles?
Yes. Molly, do you want to read this one?
Sure. Okay. All right. Tears Like Rain from the Melon Chronicles. This is an excerpt from the first installment of the Melon Chronicles series, a widely known fanfic throughout the fandom for fans of Aragorn, Legolas, friendship stories. These are basically considered classics and often are stories in the fanfic genre of hurt comfort, usually with either Legolas or Aragorn being tortured and the other coming to their friend's aid.
Okay.
Okay. Mirkwood has suffered. This is a lot. Okay.
You can totally jump around, by the way. Okay. This is long.
Mirkwood has suffered tragic losses in the last Great Alliance, including her king. With the very survival of the kingdom at stake, Thranduil finds himself at deadly odds with his older brother, Doriflin. When young Legolas becomes a pawn in his abusive uncle's ruthless power games, the lies, deception, and betrayal risk destroying more than just the young prince's life. This is so intense.
Wow.
Okay.
But see, you're gonna be pronouncing names right, and we're gonna be so impressed.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who Doriflin is. This is a new character for me.
Okay, well, Thranduil. Thranduil was impressive.
That's Lee Pace in the Hobbit movies.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Doriflin quietly insinuated into almost all aspects of Legolas's life after that. He was careful, however, to avoid letting his actions be noticed by the boy's father or mother. This is so creepy already. Thranduil was not so hard to avoid. Elwen, on the other hand, could be quite a nuisance to his plans, sometimes simply because she spent far too much time with the child for his liking. Still, Doriflin had the capacity of being supremely patient when it suited his purposes. Legolas had to trust him first. Then the true molding could begin. Is this, like, incesty?
See, I get scared when they get like that.
I know.
We had one once where we were like, let's cut this out. It was terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Who's incesty?
It's just his uncle talking about like molding. Okay. I'll give it another shot.
We'll see. Maybe it's just a weird word choice.
It was almost 2 weeks later that Legolas first began to see a possible darker side to his new training. Legolas's tutor had left him about an hour before, and the young prince was stewing in his rooms. Today hadn't gone too well. His instructor, Lord Dridian, informed him he was not paying enough attention to his studies and said that he was going to talk to his father. The door opened and Legolas half expected it to be his father, but it was not. It was his uncle.
Okay.
Doriflin had met Dridian in the hall when he tried to see the king. His brother was busy, he said, but if it concerned Legolas, he would take the message to him later. Thranduil would never get the message.
Uh-oh.
The elder elf walked across the room, running his fingers across the pile of scrolls and haphazardly stacked books that Legolas had shoved to one side of his table in frustration. Your father is not pleased with Lord Dridian's report of you, Legolas. Legolas looked down. He hadn't suspected he would be. I'm sorry, Vede. And there's a note. Vede means uncle. I don't mean to vex him so much. It's just all the names and dates and facts. They're so hard to remember sometimes. I know that's no excuse, though, he added quickly. Doriflin nodded slowly, gesturing for Legolas to come to him. The prince did. I told your father I would help make sure your marks improved, and he agreed. So, Doriflin picked up one of the scrolls near the top. Is this the one Dridian was using today? Legolas nodded. I've been going over it again since he left. I will do better next time. This is wild. This is just like, he's just quizzing Legolas on like...
You also might have to go on for like 10 billion more pages, so...
I'm like trying to find like the juicy part of this.
I know. When does it get good? Hold on. I'm scanning myself.
Okay.
Oh, okay. They start having a physical fight on the next page.
Oh, okay. 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 We're going to skip ahead a little bit.
I think that's fair.
To his credit, Legolas really had done a comparable job of memorizing the information, but inevitably he eventually fumbled on a question and got the answer wrong. Legolas started and yelped slightly in total surprise when his uncle slapped him firmly across the face with an open hand. Doriflin liked the startled, pained look in the younger elf's eyes. He was sure his brother was far too lax with the child for Legolas to understand physical punishment. Oh my god. So he reversed his sway.
Oh no!
Backhanding his nephew the other direction. This is so crazy.
It's not incest, but they do beat each other.
They're going to beat the shit out of this child.
It's child abuse. Okay. Legolas backed up a few paces, utterly shocked and confused. Both his cheeks were flushed and hot, and he pressed the back of his right hand against one, looking to his uncle with wide, questioning eyes. Doriflin's face was impassively neutral. He acted as if nothing unusual had happened. That was the wrong answer. Try again. Legolas wasn't sure he wanted to, but he collected his thoughts and tried to figure out which part he had erred on. He spotted it without much difficulty and corrected himself, looking hesitantly to his uncle to see if he was right this time. Dorriflin smiled and nodded. That's correct. He moved on again, posing another question and another, until the prince missed one again. Legolas didn't make a sound this time, but he still started sharply when his uncle struck him. He unconsciously pulled away a step, although it did no good because Dorriflin just followed him.
Oh no.
This is horrible. He tried to correct himself again, but it was a question he was a little uncertain about, and it took him several tries to get it right. Dorriflin struck him for each answer. Where's Aragorn in this? And the prince's eyes glistened with a dangerous amount of moisture. By the time he finally got to the right one, Legolas's breath came quick and fast, wobbling slightly. All right, enough study for today. Dorriflin abruptly ended their session, rolling up the scroll and setting it aside. We'll do more later. I don't think you're prepared enough right now. He brushed Legolas's flushed cheek with one hand, his thumb skimming under the prince's eye and catching the unspilt tear. Tears are for children, Legolas. You're an adult now. Please act like one when we're together. The reprimand was not exactly biting, but it was close. This is weird, you guys.
It is super weird. It is all strange. I'm thinking is I want to see who wrote it and I want to see them writing it. This is I need more info.
Okay, here's his justification. Dorriflin smiled somewhat condescendingly. Legolas, you have so much growing up to do. Don't take it personally. I am here for a purpose, to help you learn better. Pain is a teacher. It molds us, shapes us, hardens us to face the future.
Yikes.
Kids, don't listen. When you first took up a bow, you hurt afterwards, did you not? Legolas nodded slowly. Yes, that was true. He often ached after practice. And if they weren't careful when sparring, the boys could hurt each other or themselves pretty badly. He understood the concept that if it hurt, you wouldn't make that mistake again. He supposed he had better stop being such a big baby about this. It's never okay if someone...
Yeah, to be clear, we don't condone any of this.
Never shy from pain, especially the pain I give you. Dorriflin nodded approvingly when he saw the boy rationalizing it all in his mind. Legolas was so eager to please, and that made him supremely pliable. It is for instruction and for your own good. Do you understand that, nephew? Legolas nodded. Yes, Vede. I'm sorry. I will do better.
Wow.
That's it. That's okay. The book.
Wow. That was heavy. And
I know.
So this is categorized as hurt comfort because that's like, it just feels like hurt/hurt.
I feel like this is a section and it's like, yeah, like the genre of hurt comfort for fan fiction is it's like men getting injured and then other men like tenderly caring for them. And so I assume at some point Aragorn is going to come in and be like, your uncle was abusive. Let me heal your wounds.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, our producer.
Oh, we're getting something in the chat. Yeah.
This is a tiny snippet of the first installment. So that tiny. One really goes on.
Dude, long.
No, because he sent it to me and he was like, are you familiar with this? And I wasn't. And I looked it up and it was 1.5 million words long. And I was like,
what? No. Whoa. That's wild.
Okay. So this is barely getting into the hurt section apparently. And then it goes on forever.
We're going to get a lot of hurt. I bet we'll get a lot of comfort later. It'll probably go back and forth between hurt and comfort.
Wow.
I feel like so normal for I just want to read about hobbits like tenderly holding each other.
Yeah.
You know? I just want them to be happy.
I'm not into the whole hurt thing. I think it's a little, I don't know.
It feels like it's coming from a place of personal pain.
Yes.
And I think that's the part that's worrisome.
Yeah. There's something so interesting about fan fiction and how it's like so overwhelmingly about male characters, and it's this thing of like wanting to see men cry, I think, and like be tender and like express these feelings. Like I think you could write a million like gender studies papers about fan fiction and how strange it is. But yeah,
it feels like a whole different part of the internet that I just like I truly go between like Twitter and Instagram over and over again when I could be diving on weird websites like this and finding like bizarre hurt comfort stories that I could.
It's, you know, it's like, it's just, out it's with. Out there to like scratch a specific itch for people. And it's, it's like, it's always, it's, if nothing else, it's very interesting to just be like someone, this is someone's takeaway was that they needed, they needed to write this. And I understand it. I needed to write about Sam and Frodo kissing for the length of two novels. Like I needed to do it. I couldn't sleep until I did it. Like, And I think that's pretty, I think that's normal. So
that is normal.
Thank you.
I think it's more normal. I'm into that.
Okay. Well, Nicole, do you want to read yours?
Sure. Okay, so this one doesn't have a name. I just titled it Lord of the Rings fanfic. So
that's here we creative. Go.
Thank you, Lauren. Okay, so precious, precious. Oh. I muttered to myself as I scampered through the hills and valleys of Middle Earth. I may be in Rivendell or Mordor. Who knows? I sure don't. All I know is I don't have my precious. I come across a river flowing so freely and beautiful. There's also a nice tree there. I climb the tree in a nasty way, limbs flailing as if I wasn't used to my weird little monster body. A wisp of my hair gets caught in the tree limbs, trunks, branches. Yes, that's what they're called.
It's just free flowing, no stopping.
Yeah, I wrote it free flowing and I didn't edit it. I lay on a branch and take a deep breath and sing, my precious, all I want in life is my precious ring. La, 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 my precious ring. Finally, at sunset, I get out of my tree and go looking for what I want, which is my precious ring. I dip in and out of villages looking for my ring. I get to Mirkwood and I look at all the elves go about their elfish business. My eye catches a very blonde one who goes by the name of Orlando Bloom and is kissing a very dark elf. After they kiss, she pushes him away. I hear her say, I'm no sin cheating bobin, which is, I know you're cheating on me in Elfish.
Wow.
She rushes away and I just keep looking at this beautiful Orlando Bloom. Orlando looks sad and takes off running towards the field. So I chase after him as quickly as my weird body will let me. He stops at my special tree and I peer from behind it. He catches my eye and hops down. We look at each other up and down and he catches my chin with his hand and says, wow. What happened, Nassin? Which is what happened to you?
Wow. Or,
I can't remember the translation. I didn't write the English one. I looked up as I tell him through a flashback what happened to me. In a flashback, we see a beautiful black woman standing next to an equally beautiful woman. Chris Harrison says to the handsome man standing next to him, who do you give your rose to? The handsome man says, Jen, which is not the beautiful black woman. The black woman withers a bit and yells out some indistinguishable stuff and runs out of the studio. And Chris Harrison is just like, oh, okay, that's cool. And then the camera crew follows her like she's on Maury as she runs through the halls and out the door. One camera guy mutters, she'll be back, but she doesn't return. She runs all the way to the field, all the way to a field where she falls in a hole and comes out on the other side. And oh boy, she's in Middle Earth. Then there's a montage of her muttering, my precious ring, how come you didn't give me a ring? Orlando Bloom is stunned. He says to Lady Gollum, what's the bachelor? Lady Gollum says, it's too hard to explain. Suddenly, Darkwyn, Orlando Bloom's elf wife, appears and says, you're cheating on me with her? Ew! Orlando Bloom says, no, I would never. This nasty marriage-hungry creature has taught me that I'm a one-elf boy and I love you so much. They start making out. Then Man Gollum appears out of nowhere and scares Lady Gollum and says, hand? She takes his hand and then they reverse Shrek into beautiful people. And then They all have a foursome. And then we sweep up into the sky where Gandhi's jerking off. The end. The bachelor part was for
I
you,
got
Lauren.
That. I got
oh,
that.
Okay.
I was waiting for myself to appear, but then I realized it was the bachelor and I was happy with that.
That was an amazing really great twist. I love that. That was really exciting.
Oh, it really was.
Real wild. Oh, wow. Real wild stuff.
I like how many worlds collided in that. That was great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I like that it was in the first person.
Oh, thank you. Well, I was going to be Gollum, and then I was like, who wants to be Gollum? So I made her Lady Gollum.
Lady Gollum is a very upsetting concept.
So I feel like if Lady Gaga was Lady Gollum.
The boob situation, I don't.
Ew, yes.
It would be bad. It would be something.
That would be sick. That was amazing. Beautiful, though, and I really loved it.
Yeah, thank you. It was affirming. It was, yeah. I love it.
Thank you so much.
Okay, well, I'm going to jump into A Royal Wedding Night by Flame Wolf.
Oh.
Now, the summary is a look at what Arwen and Aragorn wedding night might have been like. Okay. Following her new husband down the stone corridors, she tried to focus on anything but how different this place was from Rivendell. Tonight would be her first night as her beloved woman, and she intended to show him just how much she loved him.
Besides, she had pined for him the entire time he had been on his quest. Despite her father's best efforts, her affections for him had only grown, filling her heart to bursting the moment she saw he was safe and whole after all the hardships he had weathered. It had been all she could do to wait for this night to show him just how much she had missed his presence. The creak of metal hinges brought her out of her reverie, ethereal blue eyes looking into those of her husband. Just thinking of him as such thrilled her to her very bones, making her shudder as the urge to kiss him took over her body. Full lips parting, the pallid beauty of Rivendell leaned toward the one man that had conquered her heart as he bent toward her, the arm holding the candle stretched out away from her. With the arrogant smirk she so loved, he was sweeping her into one arm before entering the room they would be sharing for the rest of his short life.
Because he's a human and she's an elf.
Oh, okay, thank you.
It's so weird.
Kicking the door shut, the one known as Strider set his candle on a stone table. I think candle or candy. What is that? Moving to the fur-covered bed. Laying his bride down carefully, the true king of Arnor and Gondor stood back to allow himself to admire her. Moonlit skin seemed to glow with its own light while she slowly sat up, her dark hair standing out in sharp contrast against her luminescent skin. Heavy lids hooded, darkened blue eyes, full lips parting as she took a pose of a nymph luring a man to his death. Breathless at the sight of her, Aragorn, son of Arathorn, removed the ceremonial armor he had been given for his wedding. The light from the fire in the fireplace danced off his tensed arms while he shed his undershirt, revealing the scarred body underneath. There were many marks of battle over his defined muscles, telling of the numerous fights he had gotten into on his long journey back to the throne. Being a rogue that had earned quite a reputation, there was likely no number of men that had tried to make their name through his death. Still, he wore them like badges that they were, almost seeming proud of them. Sliding off the bed with otherworldly grace, Arwen floating over to her husband, delicate hands spreading over his hair-dusted pecs. Careful blunt nails skittered over his skin while she met his gaze carefully. This close, a spicy, musky scent filled her nose, plucking at ancient instincts her kind had long since buried. Yet tonight she knew they would come in handy. Reaching up with her right hand, she rested her palm against his cheek while standing up on her tiptoes to brush his lips with hers. When are they going to kiss? They're just brushing lips. The prickle of his facial hair drew a sigh from her as she instinctually leaned her body into him. His naked arms wrapped around his woman, his partner, the smell of exotic flowers overwhelming his senses. After years of restraining himself, of being able to see but not really touch, feeling her clothed breasts pressing against him was almost enough to drive him over the edge. As it was, he had to fight to remain gentle, his head tilting while the embrace deepened. For endless moments, they shared air as their tongues danced, both parties reluctant to put any distance between their bodies. My husband just walked out on me. Did you hear the door slam?
He was like, enough of this.
It's over.
I was like, I'm sorry, I don't have hair dust
and pecs. I just keep reading, and he's taking his suitcase, and he's like driving away.
Do you want our tongues to dance?
Aragorn is the one to pull away, placing a kiss on his beloved's forehead before spinning her to face the bed. Ugh. Placing a hand on her lower back, he gently led her towards the bed, careful to pay attention to any signs of discomfort. The moment he thought she did not want to continue, he would stop immediately. That's respectful.
Yeah.
Something, it turned out, he didn't even have to worry about. Arwen went willingly, sitting on the bed with an expression that only added fuel to the flames growing inside him. She was a goddess, pale, perfect, and making him go to his knees. Wordlessly, his kisses, the tops of her feet in worship, showing her how devoted to her he was. Watching her lover, her king, the daughter of Elrond, reached for him. Okay, they kissed. Then it was far too hot, too many clothes. They take them off. And he lowered the top of the dress she'd worn for their wedding. The reverent expression on his features came close to making her giggle. Finally getting the point, he carefully grabbed the hem of her dress to help her move it. Looking upon her naked flesh almost felt tantamount to sin, and he had to struggle not to avert his eyes out of respect. And then he laid over her once more. She wrapped her legs around his waist daringly to hold him close. Mouthing an unneeded apology, he moved forward, taking her virginity. Shit. Biting her lip against a cry of pain, she leaned into the heat of his body for comfort while he stilled.
After a few moments, the pain dulled, prompting her to kiss under his ear to signal him to move. He began a slow rhythm, groaning softly in her ear. Sighing in response, she arched into her lover, her hands tensing on his upper back. Arwen growled in her ear as his movements grew quicker, more desperate. Feeling something tightening inside her, she breathed out his name as she nuzzled into his neck. Slowly, the feeling built into an inferno, pulsing and curling inside her to form something she had never felt before. Gasping, she held on for dear life, lights flashing before her closed eyes. It felt like she was on the brink of something powerful, only her grip on her husband anchoring her to reality. Then she was tipping over into a strange, pleasurable oblivion. Soon after, he was emptying into her. A hot substance filling her womb.
No!
That's not how you think of it. Some part of her hoping she would become pregnant, she reached for her man and began to kiss him while his thrust slowed and eventually stopped. Panting, the new king pulled them both onto the bed, wrapping his arms around her while warm lips peppered her face. "I love you, my queen," hussed out of him as his breathing began to even out. "As I love you, my king," she murmured, resting her cheek against his chest while she drifted off as well.
He was emptying into her a hot substance filling her womb is one of the most upsetting things I think I've ever seen in print.
I don't like that.
If I wasn't gay, that would have turned me gay.
It's repulsive. It's completely
and
repulsive.
Then the other one was his erection pressed against her eager womanhood.
Oh, I skipped that part, I think.
Yeah, I noticed that you skipped that.
I didn't catch it. I didn't see it. I would have read that. I had to skip a little bit or we would have been here all night long reading this one person's story, but... Okay, Molly, do you want to share a little bit of anything, even just a snippet to
just a little snip.
Whatever makes you comfortable?
Yeah, what would you guys rather hear, like a little passage from my fan fiction where they're dating, or would you rather hear like a romantic scene from the book? I could read you either one.
Ooh. I'm kind of curious about both.
Okay.
What do you vote for, Nicole?
Let's see, dating, romance. Give me dating.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like after they've already gotten together, so they go to Riverdale, and Frodo is like injured and recovering. In my fan fiction, that's where they get together and start falling in love, and then they go on the quest together. So that is starting here.
Okay.
Then they were on the road. It was a strange kind of relief to just be doing the blasted thing. Sam expected to be much more afraid out there in the wilds, but it turned out that exhaustion was a good antidote to fear. The tall folks at a fast pace, and often he and Frodo, Merry and Pippin and the pony, ended up trailing behind, until one of them noticed and came back to keep an eye on them. Protected by four great warriors and a wizard, that wasn't a bad way to see the world, Sam decided. And there was another reason to be in good spirits, which was that Frodo had said that they were something sweet for the road, and now they planned to be on the road indefinitely. They hardly had time to talk to each other alone before they left, so Sam planned to follow Frodo's lead when it came to affection. He was surprised, and happily so, when on their first night seated around a campfire, Frodo came and settled against his legs. Sam cracked his bread in half and passed them to Frodo, who shot him a wink. Pippin scoffed as he helped himself to the kvot. "Unbelievable, Frodo Baggins." Frodo sat up sharply. "What?" Pippin pointed a sausage at him, shaking his head sternly. "We are on a mission of utmost importance. Isn't that right, Gandalf?" The wizard nodded sagely behind a cloud of pipe smoke. "Venturing into the direst of dangers in the darkest of times, and you two sit here flirting." Merry snorted, and Gandalf choked on his smoke, and Frodo let out an undignified squawk. Sam couldn't help laughing a little. "Subtle," Frodo said to Pippin, shaking his head. From this angle, Sam couldn't see his face, but could see that his ears were bright red. "Thanks for that, Pippin." "I thought that hobbit was the cook," said the dwarf, Gimli. "I thought he was Frodo's bodyguard," said Legolas. Boromir looked confused. "I thought they were all children." Now it was Sam's turn to blush. "I'm almost 40, he sputtered. Boromir held up his hands, looking surprised, and Gandalf hid a laugh in his cup. "Anyway, what does the road tomorrow look like?" Frodo asked loudly, and Strider mercifully launched into a description. Frodo shot Sam a rueful look, but he also reached up and threaded his fingers through Sam's. And later that night, they pulled their bedrolls together, and Sam fell asleep with one hand resting light on Frodo's side and nose buried in Frodo's curls. And that was that.
That's so sweet and good.
Thanks. I'm blushing so hard at reading it.
It was legitimately good. I really liked it.
I liked it.
I'm a good writer. Like, I was like, I'm gonna like bring all of this skill to like making my.
It was very beautiful imagery. I liked how you could only see his red ears blushing and couldn't see his face. It was very sweet.
Little red ears blushing.
Really loved it. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you. I mean, I just think it would be really cute if they were dating.
I wish they were
the whole time.
I agree.
Just kissing. Yeah, I think it would make them happier. I think it would be nice for them.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I want them to date. I want Nicole to fuck Gandalf. And I want me to have a bachelor version of Lord of the Rings.
I love the idea of being of a bachelorette Lord of the Rings, where I'm the bachelorette. And all the men of Lord of the Rings are there. And I'm not going to date them, but I'm just going to like hang out with them.
You just have
and make them fight each other.
Yeah. Good cocktail hours. And
it would be so fun. Yeah.
Well, we've come to the end. Molly, is there anything you want to plug?
You can follow, if you want to see me just talking nonsense about Lord of the Rings, I have an alternate Twitter account that's just Hobbit Gay on Twitter. So that's like, I draw a lot of fan art for it. So if you like need content, that is where it is. And I have 3 graphic novels that are middle grade books. They're for kids, called the Witch Boy series, up from Scholastic.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Nicole, anything you want to plug?
I have a Patreon where I talk about 90 Day Fiancé. It's called 90 Day Bay. Me and my friend Marcy Jarro, we break it down. We talk about these wild people that I love. It's truly a treat. You should subscribe. And then my Instagram and my Twitter, at Nicole Byer, there's like a little link tree and it tell you all the podcasts that I do. Lauren?
I also have podcasts. I have my podcast, Threedom, with Scott Aukerman and Paul F. Tompkins, is back now. And it's free wherever you listen. So get into that. And I have my Patreon at patreon.com/LaurenLapkus, where I'm doing watch-alongs and improv and conversations and fun stuff like that. And what else was I going to say? I think that might be it. Oh, I have a live show coming up with Wild Horses with our guest, Kate Menig from The L Word. And I'm very excited. It's December 5th and it's going to be online and it's $5. So watch that. You can get tickets at Dynasty Typewriter.
I'm going to watch it. I'm really excited.
.com. Thank you. Oh my God. I love her.
I like her so much.
Yes. And she's very cool and I'm very excited. I can't wait. So come to that show. And shall we read our little five?
Yes. Battle of the Five Stars. This is Darkwind Rocks by Sandy Com on Apple Podcasts. Hello, Nicole and Lauren. I was happy to tee-hee-hee with you through Star Wars, which I didn't know much about, but now I appreciate so much. I couldn't wait to see you guys trapeze through Middle Earth. I know Nicole meant for Darkwind to be a joke, but I found her story to be very poignant. There are actually black and brown people in Middle Earth, but you don't see them in the films. Oh, interesting. I think it'd be really interesting if you interviewed a scholar to learn more about Tolkien's view on race. I would say that he's a racist in the most literal sense of the term, i.e. that different races have inherent characteristics, but he wasn't necessarily a white supremacist. Tolkien was born in South Africa, and his mother took care to include the black servants in their family portraits, which is not at all common at the time. It's hard to say how his mother's views on race would have impacted Tolkien since she died when he was so young. But there's a scene in the books where Sam realizes that black and brown people aren't evil.
Wow.
They just happen to live closest to Sauron. Anyway, can't wait to hear the rest of the theory.
I like that there's a scene where they realize they're not evil. So he's not racist.
That's so funny.
That is... Well, really interesting. And also not covered in the film, the biopic.
No.
They don't touch on anything.
They don't touch on, we learned nothing from the biopic. It was truly a waste of everyone's time. And I don't really say that about many things, but like it was, I was angry that it was made.
Well, because we are, you know, I'm more curious about how he wrote these books than I am about like his time at like school or something.
Yeah,
with
I don't
his
give
pals.
A shit about
like,
his friends.
It wasn't an exciting story about, you know, his creativity, which I think could have been interesting, or inspirations besides that one like war scene or whatever they kept returning to. But well, that's very interesting. Thank you, Sandy Com. And that may not be the last you've heard of Darkwind, that there may be a certain popular role playing board game we'll be getting into a couple weeks where we'll have the choice to create our own characters and go questing with them. That's news to both of us. And I think we're both scared.
What game is this?
Dungeons and Dragons? Is that, would you play that with Lord of the Rings or is that a whole separate thing?
I don't think you would play it with Lord of the
Okay,
Rings.
Okay, so maybe
it's
there's
like a Lord of the Rings board game.
Okay.
You guys are going so deep. I love like,
that's what we can't believe.
You are consuming so much content that I have never ventured towards.
Like,
oh my good God. Okay, well, stay tuned.
Oh no,
for that.
It's Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, it is. Oh.
Our producer just confirmed we're playing Dungeons and Dragons.
I, for one, am scared but excited, and I think it'll be interesting. And we'll get to make our own characters, and that is fun.
Well, okay, next week we're getting our feet wet into the world of Lord of the Rings video games. Okay, what, we're getting our feet wet? Does that mean we're going to get our feet even more wet later and do more about video? I mean, how many things are there? Our guest is the man who voiced the main character in the video game, okay?
Ooh.
So we will see you then. And thank you so much, Molly, for being with
yes,
us today
you.
And
You're
for
wonderful.
Sharing your writing. And
thank
everyone
you.
Go buy her books. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Original.